Hi there. Hope your Monday's going well. Rod Zwanitzer inviting you in to Cross Defense, our show where we talk about the intellectual challenges to Christianity, to religion, to the faith. And today we're going to even let you call in if you'd like to talk about our topic. It's a little different, apologetically centered, as it always is, but we're centering on a new whole group that has a brand new website out that is an apologetic resource. And we who love apologetics or interested in it, we love good resources. This is one, my friend. And so we have one of its main officers with us today, Ted Rosenblatt, out in California, sunny California, I suspect, Ted. Welcome to Cross Defense.
Thanks so much for having me. And it is sunny out here.
The weather's still nice out there.
Yeah, it's wonderful. We're just shy of 80 degrees right now and barely a cloud in the sky.
Yeah, I remember when I was out there with you guys a couple weeks ago, it was always 79 and sunny and a little breeze. I mean, it's beautiful.
There's a reason people come out here. It really is nice.
Yeah, still the drought, though, I take it.
Yeah, it's pretty dry. I've been watching a couple local lakes. We're really getting to some lower levels, and people are being made pretty conscious of water conservation right now.
And then we all, worry and remember, when you get a little dry, you get fires and stuff like that. So we pray for a balance out there in the climate, huh?
Yes, truly. We've had our instances out here. People remember in the recent years we've had a bit too many fires, especially in our area. And the dryness, we're always being reminded of that as well.
So if you'd like to chat with Ted and I about this new exciting apologetic resource called 1517, the Legacy Project, we'd love to hear from you via the phone in the St. Louis listening area, 314-821-0850. Toll free in North America, 800-730-2727, or you can email KFUO at KFUO.org. So, Ted, tell us, this 1517, the Legacy Project, how did it come to fruition?
Well, it's kind of a long story. The term legacy has multiple meanings. And I think it'd be best to start with kind of going back in history a little bit to give people a kind of an education as to what 1517 even means.
Sure.
Really, it is the beginning of the Reformation of the 16th century. In 1517, Martin Luther was having struggles with the church because he realized that there were some places that the Catholic Church had, which was the church, the Christian church, had diverged from Scripture. And it took him some time to get there. But once he realized the main point, he felt that he had to bring those to light. And so what he did is he went to the local bulletin board, which was the church, the Wittenberg church door, and posted 95 theses there. And that was the usual place that everybody would post all kinds of stuff. It was kind of like the Facebook of the day for the locals there. And one of the things that occurred was that at the same time this was going on, the Gutenberg press had recently come into a creation, and people saw these points and decided that they were important enough that they were going to run these off on this brand new press. And where normally that sort of thing wouldn't have happened in prior years and centuries, the things he wrote about went viral. And back in the day, that's what it was. It went crazy. It went all over Europe. And that kind of rattled some cages with the church. And so it started this discussion, which for him was fairly significant because the church was known to kill people like that. They didn't like, they would put to death people that went against what the church said.
So Ted, it had to involve too, I think, their heightened interest in anybody would try to take them down was financially too, was it not?
Yeah, it was. There was definitely a financial part of this. There's a component. One of the things that was going on was that they were the church was pushing for people to buy indulgences to rescue their family members out of purgatory. And they were going around, this guy named Petzl was going around and visiting towns and scaring people into putting their, what little savings they had into the box so that they could rescue dead family members. And there were a lot of strange practices like that going on, and it was accepted as the norm. So when Martin Luther came and said, yeah, I don't think so, that was a fairly significant change from what everybody had accepted at that point.
Now, this is a question that really gets misunderstood and misarticulated among us. Was Luther a revolutionary guy, or was he a reformer? Big difference there, too, is there not?
It's a good point. He was really a reformer. He clearly did not want to leave the church. He was bringing the points up to get the church to return to Christ as its core, rather than money and works. He realized that the thing he was missing, because he was a greatly tormented man. His sins weighed on him greatly, and in a lot of his writings, you get the sense that he was personally afflicted by the devil. He had very real arguments with the devil for him. It was pretty rough. And so for him to rediscover the gospel and the writings of St. Paul was a very real epiphany. And so when he in his studies was able to bring that to the church, what he was doing was trying to get the church to return to the same thing he had just discovered. He had no intention of creating another Protestant denomination. He didn't want to split off. There was never his intention.
Not only that, but he really didn't want everything changed, everything thrown out, as some of the latter reformers actually did. He felt there was still a lot biblically truthful and worthwhile preserving, but he wanted some central things reformed and changed, and that was the rest of his life, was it not?
Yeah, you're always going to find people who are able to point out some parts of Luther's life where there are definitely some dark parts of Luther's life, but the main focus that is significant with him as he made this discovery and really worked on this throughout his life, the main point was the return to the idea that Christ did everything perfectly in our stead, and then gives us our faith and our salvation to us as gifts. It is not something that needs to be earned by us. It isn't something that he started that we then need to finish. It wasn't kind of a kickstart for us then to work on. It was done entirely by Christ.
So, in essence, could we not say that he really wanted the real, true, pure gospel to prevail, and that to be the main central thing, and all the rest was important but kind of supportive role, and so he really wanted the great good news of Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised for our offenses to be front and center. And other things, he said, well, we can work on those, but let's just get the main thing. And so that's what he's kind of known for, his legacy. And it's really neat that we're coming up to a 500-year anniversary of this in 2017. A lot of preparations. And along comes 1517, the Legacy Project. So you've given us some great historical background, Ted. Thanks for that. How does that flow into your group, 1517, the Legacy Project?
Well, we recognized as a group, we've been watching as times have gone on in our present day, that we have a lot of the conditions now mirroring what was going on with Luther in his day. And that starts with what we recognize is going on within the church. Even recent headlines can prove that. But beyond that, it was even political, economic, what was going on with education and technology. There were a lot of things that occurred right around the time of the Reformation that we recognize in many respects, is similar now. Even if it isn't exactly the same, we've got a lot of similar opportunities coming to us at the same point. We believe that we need to return to the Reformation again and return to that message that Martin Luther started. And we believe that technologically we have an opportunity now, similar to what occurred with the Gutenberg Press, to do something that we haven't been able to do in, you know, 500 years. This is that big. So we have the internet. This is the whole new printing press of a sort. We are able to have a faster and greater reach than they had back then, even with the printing press. We are able to go beyond printing. We're able to do audio and video instantly. We're able to contact people instantly through their phones. We are able to get information and content from those people because their phones can record that content and deliver it digitally. We are able to even now publish in a way digital, you know, through this new digital technology, we are able to publish not only in what we're seeing with web pages like blogging, but we're able to take our writings and take it from the digital form into a printed bound book faster and easier and cheaper than ever before. And we're watching that change with the publishing companies even as we sit here and speak. It's moving very, very quickly.
Yeah,
so we're seeing a lot of these conditions occur at the same time. And what we have done with 1517 is we are trying to come back to that same idea that Luther rediscovered, as I said, in the writings of St. Paul in the Reformation in the 15th century. We want to return to a message of hope and joy within the gospel. We want to return the message of Jesus Christ to our churches. We want this to be the underpinnings of what we would like to see in a second Reformation in our day.
Very good. Now you talk about that new Reformation. I think that's a critical way to talk about it. You're not after a revolution. You're after a Reformation. And to put the gospel back on its prominent spot in purity and in proclamation and in defense. And certainly one of your tasks is the same as Luther's, would you not say, Ted? Because, you know, it became under attack for all kinds of reasons, as we've already, you know, so broad brushed have talked about it. And in our day, it is really under attack due to that same technological abundance that's out there for your group and for our group here at KFUO, that you know, we have the new atheists and such, and even some people that call themselves Christians who you know, intellectually, almost arrogantly attack the purity of the gospel and seek to deceive the people out there, even as these Judaizers did in you know, the Apostles Paul time at Galatia, that to make something that really isn't good news into what they call good news.
That's right. The technology is a tool, and any tool can be used in any way that the one who's using the tool wishes. So it can be used against, you know, we could use it against the gospel, we could use it for the gospel. We've seen plenty of motion within the church to fight the gospel and return to something that's works-based. It's very seductive. This is the thing that Scripture talks about, one of the things that Scripture talks about men seeking messages that tickle their ears. We really want to hear that we can do it ourselves. We really want to hear about how we can improve ourselves and work our way towards heaven. It's the old Adam, and it's what he desires. And what we're trying to do is get away from that idea once again. And, you know, it's only happened one time in history, so I realize that this isn't something that is typical. But we would like to return to that gospel that Luther found, and have that same joy return to people's ears who are similarly tormented as he was. See, one of the things that occurs is when you remove Christ as the Savior and the one who did everything perfectly for sinners, you end up having to take on this burden. And I can't tell you how, over the years, with the other organization we created years ago called New Reformation Press, I can't tell you how many people we have engaged having heard their stories of despair. people have sought Christ in the church for years, and they just simply can't do it anymore. We have received direct contact from these folks looking for some message of hope, and it's just one more voice in the message that we realize is something that we need to pursue in returning the gospel to the church. If we're able to do this, this is not, as you said, this is not to tear anything down. This is simply to go back to the origins of our Protestant denomination, and that is the Reformation of 16th century.
Now, when did this project start to get legs, and who was behind it, and how long did it take you to get to this exciting point, Ted, this recent launch, of this great website?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's several different phases, I suppose you could say. My father is, let me back up a second again. My father's name is Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, and he is professor of theology at Concordia University, Irvine in California. And I grew up watching him shepherd brilliant young men through my home with him as he educated them and brought them to completion in their education so that they could even get their doctorates and so forth. And they themselves moved to a position of teaching. They were... many of these guys have been hired over there at Concordia within their theological division, which is called Christ College Irvine. And they are now on faculty with my father as well.
I was going to say, Ted, let me just stop you there, because there was a great article, I think, in the Concordia University Irvine publication that had a picture of your dad and all these other apologists that you were describing there, and kind of, you know, your dad's passion not only for apologetics and defending the faith so admirably is done, but also to see that this is carried on with the in future generations. And I believe we can, I know we can get a copy of that put up on our website, that people might want to read that and see this great theological and apologetic offspring that have come through your dad's efforts out there.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good idea. I couldn't recommend the place enough. Concordia University, they, in putting together what they've put together in their theological department, it really has become second to none. I mean, you can really go toe-to-toe with the best of the Christian college consortium. If your goal is to become a professor with a focus on theology, or you're prepping for seminary, I can't recommend it highly enough. I mean, the least I can do is plug those guys. They're doing phenomenal work. So
yeah.
You're exactly correct. What has occurred is just simply amazing. My father's been amazed by it, and that magazine does a great job of giving people an understanding of what is now available through Concordia over there in Irvine.
And the rest of the church, I must say, Ted, benefits so much too, from the likes of Steve Mueller to, Sam Schulteis to Jeff Mallinson, and all these really brilliant young minds that are now so active in defending the faith and desiring this Reformation. And so we're all blessed by that. So, you know, your dad has been such a stalwart in so many areas, none more so we might mention than his work on White Horse Inn with Michael Horton in that cast. Your dad's been such a mainstay there. So he's even ventured outside safe Lutheran walls and gotten into helping Christians all over the theological spectrum. And so when did this idea of this 1517 legacy project start to emerge, and then how did it flow into your website launch?
Really, what you're seeing here with this organization has been in the works for a couple of years. It's taken us this long to get the organization put in place, to put our founding documents together, to get the right people in place, to form what we call the Thinking Fellowship, because it's really the core of what we consider ourselves as a think tank focused on education. This is, it's taken us this long to get all these parts together, and now we have been able to this year introduce our new website, where people can really begin taking advantage of the materials we're just beginning to offer. In starting with the multi-author blog that we have there for all these phenomenal scholars to have a voice. People can get used to the stuff that they're talking about. In addition, they can find out when we start publishing their next works. They can get a jump right on that. We are in the process right now of launching a new presence on Amazon. And we are going, if people see what we're doing on our website, we are right in the process of launching that. We should see some news on that this week. And all our physical products are going to be available through there, including all of Dr. Montgomery's books, which as part of the inception of this organization were purchased and are available primarily. Some places still offer some offshoots, but he has chosen us as his selected source for all his old and future works.
And so that's
able to get those through us.
That's a big collection, too. You're talking about the John Warwick Montgomery collection. A lot of material in there. Bits of his interviews, books, articles, all this stuff. So that's a part of this 1517 Legacy Project, is the whole J.W. Montgomery collection of materials is now through this one source. And it's a nice fit with what your project is all about.
Yeah, and we would like to make it even easier for people to get it. For the first time, all of his audio is available as MP3s. We plan to, in the coming months, make that even easier to get your hands on so that you can stream that. Right now, you can get it through our digital store, which we still maintain at New Reformation Press. And but primarily, the jumping off point for us in this organization is 1517legacy.com, where you can start going through our scholars' writings. You can go to our freebie section. You can find our stores where you can purchase products. And if you wish, we have a place where you can join with us, and you can put your own hand to the plow here, because the reason this whole thing has taken off is in support of laity, people who have really gotten excited about what we're doing, and they have brought their time and their talent and their money to make this whole thing take off the way it has. So it's taken 2 years to get there, and we're really excited about what we're doing. This is a message that we really haven't been seeing anywhere else, and we're thrilled to bring it.
Is it fair to say, Ted, that you're describing this new launch in partnership with Amazon.com that is coming, that you've got the basic just skeleton here for a lot of stuff you're going to add and build upon? And, the old song, you ain't seen anything yet, nothing yet, because you've got more and more plans to roll out more and more of these things, clearly defending the pure gospel and putting it out there in the forefront with some of the best thinkers in the world. And so this think tank that has come about really explodes on the techno scene in the shape of this website. And so we're going to spend some time going through some of its features more and more, just for one purpose, so that you listeners out there will check it out. It's 1517legacy.com, if I'm not mistaken. I just went off it here onto the New Reformation press site. I was looking at some stuff over there. Yeah, there we go, 1517legacy.com. So when we come back from this break, we're going to talk more about this website and what it's in store for you and your apologetics when we return. Stick with us. You're listening to Cross Defense.
This week on Issues Etc., a series on the parables of Jesus, the parable of the wise and foolish builders with Pastor Bill Swirla, Dr. Lane Berglund on the parable of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the lost sheep with Dr. Scott Murray, and the parable of the prodigal son with Pastor Peter Bender.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service has been there for me since I began the American leg of my journey as a refugee. Their staff helped me and my family to a local church in the community where I resettled, a church whose hospitality could not have been more important in my transition to a welcoming American society. Learn more about Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and journeys like mine, LIRS.org.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism?
1 in 88.
I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism.
Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I'll never forget.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going out to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Missouri National Guard. Aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
Do you have a reason to reach out to us at Worldwide KFUO? Is there a piece of communication you'd like for us to receive? It's not hard to reach us. Our street address is KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. If you missed it, the street address is found at the bottom of our homepage online, kfuoam.org. Every day we bring you the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and song. Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listening to Worldwide KFUO on the go with your smartphone doesn't mean you have to walk around with earbuds all day. You can Bluetooth across the room to a speaker system in your home or listen on radios that have built-in smartphone cradles. There are many easy ways to listen to WorldwideKFUO.org on the air, online, and on demand. We proclaim the clear gospel message of Christ crucified for our sins. The messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church, where every night of the year you can hear sacred music. Weeknights at 6 p.m., listen to sacred music on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis, as well as streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer, on Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Thanks for sticking with us on today's Cross Defense program. I'm your host, Rod Zwanitzer. We're talking about a truly exciting new apologetics resource, 1517, the Legacy Project, and it's just come out with its website. So we have, Ted, what's your official title there?
I'm actually president and CEO.
Okay, so the big kahuna of the project is with us, and we've been talking about its background, its reason to exist, its goals, and now we're going to just share with you some of the highlights of this really well done website. Let's begin here, Ted, and let's also invite the listeners out there that might want to call in with a question for you or a comment. 314-821-0850 in the St. Louis listening area, or those of you that have that glorious unlimited long distance plan. Toll-free in North America, 800-730-2727. Email KFUO at KFUO.org. Describe, Ted, if you would, when you sat down to put together this website, how you designed it so that it would be really usable, relevant, and a blessing to our listeners out there.
Thank you. Yeah, clean. Really, the goal here is clean and minimalistic. Too much interface gets in the way, and I don't like clicking a lot as somebody who goes around, I'm just like everybody else, and I'm poking around on the internet. If I have to click a lot, I get frustrated, and I don't spend my time somewhere. I want to be able to get to the content with a minimum of that, and I'd like to know where I'm going and what I'm going to see. So with that in mind, what we've done here is put together a website that lets you see our most recent offering right up front, right in your face. You're just not going to miss the most current stuff. And you're not going to miss our authors, which we've tried to keep their identities right in front so that you can see who you're reading and what things they're producing, whether it's video, whether it's writing. And so you can click through on right there in the main content, or you can use our menu at the top. And we're always refining this. We always are trying to make things better. But you should be able to easily maneuver through the top menus. And this is also phone friendly. We tried to make this so that you can click through on your phone and get the same or similar content right there on your phone in terms of images and along with text.
That's a neat feature too, because sometimes we all know to go on your laptop or such, it's really easy to use. And then you go on your smartphone and it's not easy to use. And yours is, works both ways. So that's a good point. Let's give them just a sense here, Ted, of what you were describing, which is a neat feature that on this clean opening page, right there, you get the new arrivals of this material that's on here for the people to check out and be blessed by and then share. And let me just read some of these. These are good. This is kind of a taste of what you get from the 1517 Legacy Project, folks. It's okay to use a reason to attack Christian faith, but not defend it. Dr. Corey Moss, wrote this one, and this is excellent. You know, it's like that the other side wants to use reason, intellect to attack Christianity, but they don't want us to use it to defend it. Great article. Or here's another one. How I overcame my fear of Christian freedom. That's nice. And then here's one that I really like. It's a series that looks like it's going to be eventually 9, and we just got part 2. I think this is from Jeff Mallinson, if I'm not mistaken. What's wrong with apologetics? Because, you know, if you don't know it out there, brothers and sisters in Christ, a lot of people, even Christians, say there's a lot wrong with apologetics that we shouldn't use it. And so he's got a great little series going. And in fact, we're going to have him on in a few weeks to talk about one of these, challenges to apologetics. But this one is on false humility. And then we've got another one on Darwin, Science, and Religion by Daniel Dean, who's really into this stuff, isn't he, Ted?
Yeah, he is our resident philosopher with a focus on science. And I can pick out any one of these guys. He and Dr. Mallinson, all of them are, it's amazing. You can't even, I mean, we sit down for beers with these guys and they make my head spin, just in small talk.
and you know, so, what I find in the little contact that I've had with all of them, some of them I know better than others, is not only are these brilliant thinking men, but they can convey their points and bring it down to a lot of people's level. And that's a talent. I mean, that's a gift.
Truly. And that's one of the things that I think that it's one more thing that we can bring that is similar, again, to what was going on in the First Reformation. That is that this isn't exactly true at this point, but a lot of people back then couldn't even read, and they needed people to read things to them. And that isn't, again, that isn't a direct corollary or a direct match, but it's easy for guys who work on a level, really a collegiate level. This is high scholastic stuff that they do on a regular basis. but they are able to take that and kind of in a way that C.S. Lewis did so well, bring it down to a point where it makes sense. It's more conversational. It's not something where we have to pull out, we don't have to pull out all the big words and so forth. And people, all the regular Joes out there can go, yeah, you know, I really get that. You know, that's the first time I've heard someone describe that concept in a way that it clicked for me. And that's what we're aiming for. We want to get these things across to people. It's not to just go to a tiny niche of people that understand the high scholastic work.
I like the way you correlated that, Ted, so well with Luther's time, because, you know, Luther would say, you know, I can go toe-to-toe with any intellectual on that level, if you want to go there, the academic university level. But I find it even more beneficial if we get down to the plowboy who's working the family's plots and fields can relate to it too. And so we want to make that point very clear that there's intellectual food and nourishment here for people of all levels, to the most basic to the most sophisticated, because these contributors are really able to speak to a lot of different levels and on a lot of different topics.
Yeah, one of the things that's nice is that we have a broad spectrum of talent and study here. So each of them has their own focus, their own voice, and they come together in a wonderful harmony together that people can pick and choose which ones are interesting to them and hopefully get a little bit of exposure in things they hadn't considered reading and thinking about before.
I also like kind of at the very top, and you started out, Ted, by describing this as very clean, and I have to commend you on that. It is a very clean site. You know, a lot of people think if you have too much white space showing, you're not getting your money's worth. But as you said, I'm like one that the persons that don't have any white space, my mind just clogs, you know, and I'm like, find something else, you know. But this is very clean. But right at the top, you have this don't miss feature where it looks like to me that you kind of pull out one that you think everybody needs to look at. In this case, it's okay to use reason to attack Christian faith, but not defend what I was talking about. And that caught my eye, and so I went and checked it out. So at the top in the major tab section, we have the home page, of course, where it's easy to get back to the starting point. Then you have a fine little section there on contributors. And then you have, even a part of that, you have these the Thinking Fellowship, which is that a fair way to say it, kind of the mainstays behind the project?
Yeah, this is the core of the organization. And I really like that we've come up with something that is it has that Tolkienian sense to it, you know? Yeah, I really like that Fellowship of the Ring kind of round table sense of what we're trying to put together here. And it is an odd little group within the organization. It really is in the center of the organization, and their ideas drive the organization about who's going to be involved, what materials are going to be produced, and which directions we're generally going to head. And we have tried to create a setup where they are completely freed up to and unhindered in whatever ideas that they decide to come up with. We want this open as possible. Freedom.
Excellent. Also, I noticed when I was checking out this tab, we're talking about contributors. It has a submissions one where you're actually encouraging and looking for people to submit things that might even appear on this site and then spread worldwide, as you were describing your following. And you have some really good advice and let me just read some of these. Empowering new voices for proclamation. That's neat. How your content advances our common cause. And then what is the 1517, the Legacy Project, and who reads it? And then I like this 1517 rule number one, don't be a buzzkill. And 1517 rule number two, see rule number one. That's so well done, Ted. And that's kind of the spirit, I think, of not only the website, would you agree, but also the group. And when I've been around you guys, you're really that. I mean, you're really into gospel freedom and proclamation, but you do it kind of in Lutheran style, to have fun and in love with defense of the truth and the faith, and you know, enjoy being a Christian.
Well, you know, it's funny, we like to use the imagery of a party, because when this originated, it really started, the ideas began, that became the 1517, the Legacy Project. They originated in my dad's house. They originated on his back deck, and it was a party. It was fun. It was something that was hopeful, and we were laughing, and it was one of those things that the spirit of it was so enjoyable and comforting that we wanted to figure out how to get that out there. And so what we're trying to do is to harness that same spirit here and let other people enjoy it. We want to give them the same kind of environment that you know, when Scripture speaks of the joy, giving a defense of the joy that is within us, the hope that is within us. We want to be able to show that same thing that causes people to go, wow, you can really be free like that. You can really be content, and you can have that level of assurance and be hopeful. You know, those constraints fall away when you're free. And they're, I don't have the references here, but there are parts of Scripture that speak of the freedom we receive, that we are freed. The captives have been freed by Jesus.
Sure. Don't go back under that yoke of slavery again. Let's move on here. An events tab that I know eventually will really be filled in with all kinds of good things going on out there. And then the next one, freebies. Tell us about this freebie that's highlighted and is so well done. The Gospel for Those Broken by the Church.
Yeah, that is the crown gem of our freebies section, and I think it'll probably remain that way for the foreseeable future. We have our freebies section is the thing that we like to let people in on. It is the thing that we have tried to come up with a collection of free stuff that makes people just say, wow. We really want to have stuff that is quality, that is something that is so faith-building that you find yourself either reading or listening to it over and over again. We want to offer free samples of some things that we have for sale so that people can come in and get a sense of what they're purchasing. But all of it, one way, shape, or form, they should come away with with a stronger faith and happier and lighter in the load that they are experiencing in the world on any given day. And I recommend that people start with the Gospel for Those Broken by the Church, which my father recorded in 2004 and has helped so many people. I believe that is one of the most important works that he will be remembered.
Amen. It's so powerful and, you know, freedom giving to a lot of people that need to hear that. And before we forget, we would really be remiss if we didn't talk about the people out there getting your 1517 newsletter free of charge, I take it. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that is going to be something where our members get different communications from us than what goes on in the website content. And they will get first crack at certain things as we release them. They will get first information about live events when we launch those. They will get information about what's going on with our thinking fellows and what they have going on. And some pieces, parts will percolate to the regular website. But as an insider, as a member of that club, not only will you get our newsletter, but you'll get more insider information. It's kind of an insider's club. It's the elite section. And so we always recommend that you become a member there, and you'll get that fastest at that point.
Is the name... Ideas and Influence, or is that just a headline to draw us into the newsletter?
I believe that's something we're going to be using more and more, and we're going to be using it within our newsletter. We're designing it right now. We've been busy as all heck getting all these materials produced.
Sure.
So anybody that signs up now will be able to see the first launch issue of our newsletter, and it will capitalize on our vision of inspiring, informing, and inviting people to believe the gospel. We like to use a lot of I words in a lot of in some of our materials. So
sure,
we'll see that.
And then moving on, you already talked to us a little bit about the store feature, and it's tied to the famous New Reformation Press that put out so much, and we already talked about now the purchase of all of the just amazing and world-renowned John Warwick Montgomery collection. I'm looking here. This is really fascinates me and something I've got to check out. You have a whole apologetics audio course from Dr. Montgomery called Sensible Christianity that's available here, MP3 style, for a great price. This is wonderful. So this has a lot of his audio in MP3, and it has quite a substantial collection of his books available. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And right now we're no longer going to be offering his books through New Reformation Press. As I said, if you watch us closely, if people will watch us closely this week, they will be able to see some new information about what's going on with us at Amazon very shortly. And those things will be able to be purchased like they always do at Amazon. But digital materials like these are going to continue to be available through New Reformation Press. And in this case, the price, we were able to slash more than half. Once they've been available as a set for over $100 as tapes and CDs prior. And now, for the first time, we're able to make these available as even higher quality digital downloads than they were in the tape and CD version.
Wow.
And you can get it directly on your phone. You can get it on your computer and your iPad or your tablet.
I'm just looking here. One of my favorites, and I have such a massive collection of Dr. Montgomery stuff. I've been a fan for decades now. Principalities and Powers, you know, the thing that Paul talks about, that there's dark forces, these principalities and powers. And he did a whole seminar on demon possession and that kind of stuff. And I know all of us are interested in that. And he clears up a lot of the myths and a lot of the lies and deception that are out there. So just great, great selection. And would we be saying it correctly in this way, Ted, that there's far more to come here?
Oh, yeah. There's obviously, I can't discuss everything, but people are starting to get a sense of where we're going. We've been talking about things that have been coming via New Reformation Press for months, years, and I felt kind of bad because we kept leading on but not really saying anything more. Well, now people are able to start seeing where we're headed with this, and we have so much more that we're working.
Right. And then tell us about this. I really love your creativity here. This stand with us, because that's real Lutheran, you know? Here I stand, I can do no other. This is a real Lutheran take on that. And and really nice when you're inviting us to support you not only in our prayers and our enthusiasm for your project, but you're also asking for financial gifts to keep it going and build it, and also volunteer.
And we've, you know, honestly, even since this website has only been launched just a little over a month ago, and we've already received a number of contacts for all of these things, and we've already received additional financial support. And I cannot thank people enough for this. We are able to do this and provide more, including more free materials as a goal, for people to get their hands on because of the support of the people who've already made this possible. And I can't express enough gratitude for their interest in what we're doing.
Okay. Excellent. And the engineer just told me that I had it on your page, and it was doing some audio, broadcasting it over the microphone, so he told me to stop it.
Okay.
Not that we didn't like it. It was just overthrowing and competing with us, so... But
there's another website we had created called 1517@aglance.com, and that one has more information about the organization, and you can hear some information in my father's voice, and there's a little bit more over there, but you can find that within 1517legacy.com. We want that to be your one stop for all of our stuff.
Very good. And I was so into talking with you, I couldn't even hear it. And then the engineer had to come over and say, "Hey, it's playing. We're picking up what you're playing there." But I really like that. The Stand With Us is not only seeking for financial gifts and support, which are vital, but also volunteering and learning more about the group and your direction, and all that, and then of course contact information. So Ted, just a wonderful start to launching this most exciting and timely New Reformation project, 1517. And so exciting for, I think, not only those of us that for a long time have really dug the world of apologetics, but now, we don't have to turn to non-Lutherans for all our apologetic work. Your beloved dad and the blessings God has given him has developed this cadre of just amazing apologists. And we so gravitate to what they're putting out. And now we have this one-stop place, resource, where we can get all this. It's so magnificent, Ted. And I know that was your intent, and you've pulled it off so magnificently, let me tell you.
Rod, I really appreciate that. The input we've received has been just over the top wonderful. You're always a little skittish when you take something like this and you make it public after you've been working on it for so long. And the support we've received and the input we've gotten is just, it's really affected me personally. It's been wonderful. We have pretty big goals here. And, I am convinced we can do it. We have been putting, all of us have been putting our hands to this plow behind the scenes for long enough, and we're starting to see the effects of that at this point, and we hope to just have affect things to a much greater degree worldwide.
Well, and we trust and hope that those worldwide listeners here to Cross Defense on Worldwide KFUO will check this out and then contact you guys. Look at all your stuff, read it, use it, and share it. Tell everybody you know about 1517, the Legacy Project. To help with that, we're going to put a direct link to this website on the archive of the show, Ted, so people don't even have to try to remember it or write it down. When you see this archive, and you can shoot it out to your friends and say, check this one out, we'll have a direct link. It'll take it right to your website, and then they can do all these great things that are here on this remarkable apologetics resource.
Thank you so much, Rod. I really appreciate that. And we will make sure to cross-link to you as well. I want people to be able to hear what you are able to produce there at KFUO, and we are perfectly happy recommending that to our audience. So
great.
When the time comes, people will be able to find those links via our Facebook. Yeah, our Facebook account.
Yep. Before we let you go here, Ted, why don't you give us about a minute summary of what 1517, the Legacy Project, is for the church, and encourage our listeners to check it out and get into this great stuff that you're sharing with the world and with the church.
Well, let me read you something that we developed as one of our materials. This will be quick. The power of the gospel is rooted in freedom, not merely freedom from, but freedom to. The cross is a symbol of grace. It's a treasure of hope in palaces and barrios. It's a song for bars and cathedrals, adorning crowns and headstones. And this legacy of grace and freedom is beautifully articulated through the ideas and influence of the Lutheran Confession. Humankind longs to really live. Have we exchanged this beauty for ugliness, this grace for bondage? The power of the gospel is rooted in freedom. And so there are times in history when we rise up and resist the temptation to believe otherwise. It is in these moments that people, purpose, and opportunity unite. Because we're not just leaving a legacy, we're living one.
Wow. Ted Rosenblatt, President and CEO of 1517, the Legacy Project. Thank you for that. Thank you for being such a great guest today. And rock on, brother. You're doing such great work out there. Greet all the brothers for me, will you?
I will do so. Thanks so much, Rod.
Come back on when we ask you. We would look forward to that.
I would love to. Thank you.
Next week, Cross Defense, same time, same station. God go with you and bless you as you defend the faith.